This morning's scripture reading is coming from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 through 17. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 through 17. Therefore, remember that you once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called circumcision made in flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you once were far off, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is, the law, the commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were afar off, and to those who were near.
Thank you for reading of that scripture and for that beautiful song. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. What a beautiful song. You know, since Jesus rose from the dead early on the first day of the week, he made a number of appearances before he ascended back to heaven on the first day of the week. Of course, the church had its beginning on the day of Pentecost, on the first day of the week. People were added to the church that day. That was the beginning of the church, God's family, God's people, have always met since that date on, since Pentecost on the first day of the week for edification and for encouragement. Hebrews 10:25-26. Before we get into the message today, I have a scripture that I want to share with you. And I'm going to use the King James Version for this particular scripture. I normally use the New King James or the New American Standard. 1 Corinthians 16:15. Paul had this to say. I urge you, brethren, you know the household of Stephanas. They were the first converts of Achaia. Now, what is it, Paul, that you want us to know about these people? Well, they had an addiction. No, they weren't addicted to cocaine and nicotine or alcohol or gambling. They were addicted to the ministry of the saints. They were devoted. They had devoted themselves to the ministry of the saints. That'd be a pretty good addiction, I think, to be devoted to the ministry of the saints. Now, morning message. I got to thinking one day about the word if. If. It's a very small little word. How's the word if relate to history? What if the ifs of history could be unraveled? Ever spent any time thinking about that? What if the South had won the Civil War? How much longer would the African race but who had to suffer all of the pain and the indignities of slavery. What if Adolf Hitler had won World War II? Where would we be today? What kind of world would this be today? On a personal level, what if you had never went to that school or that congregation or that camp? What if you'd never been introduced to your lifelong mate by maybe someone, a friend, brother, sister? How would that change your life? What if you'd never applied for employment at this particular company? Would you have been able to provide the same standard of living for your family? What if I'd never surrendered my life to the Lord Jesus Christ and started obeying His gospel and started living for Him? Then where would I be today? You know, there's a story in John's Gospel, the 11th chapter. John, Lazarus was sick in Bethany. Lazarus was the brother of Mary and Martha. They loved Jesus, and Jesus loved them. And Jesus was not with them at this particular time. And when he got the news that his friend Lazarus was sick, he stayed for two more days. And then he said, let's go to Judea again. And when he got there, why, he found Lazarus had been in the tomb for 4 days. And he met Martha. Martha said, Lord, if you had been here, and my brother would not have died. He also met Mary. Mary said, if you had been here, Lord, then my brother would not have died. But Jesus said, show me the tomb, you see. Show me the tomb. Where have you laid him? Where have you laid him? So, Martha says, well, Lord, by this time he's been dead for 4 days. He stinks by this time. He stinketh. Now, I don't know if, see, the Jews did not embalm, so they buried people rather quickly. I don't know if you've ever been around a dead body that hasn't been embalmed. I mean, we have a pathologist out at Pataskala Church. So he does autopsies for Ohio Health. But we see on our television sets occasionally of law enforcement or coroner's office or somebody finding dead bodies that's out in the field somewhere, that type of thing. And it wouldn't be an unpleasant task. It would be an unpleasant task to do that. I've passed by roadkill on the highways and walked by it, and I know that dead flesh smells terribly. So Martha said he's been dead for 4 days. But Jesus said, take away the stone. Remove the stone. Well, you see, Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. Now, there's a reason that Jesus called him by name. Because if he just said, as legendary preacher Marshall Keeble suggests, if he had just said, come forth, then the whole cemetery had got up. But he knew what he wanted. So he called him by name, Lazarus, come forth. So back to the biggest gift of all. What would happen if Jesus had never died on the cross, never shed his blood for the sins of the world? What if he had never surrendered to the cross? And it was a surrender. If you remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, Luke 22, verse 42, Jesus prayed and said, "Father, if you're willing, remove this cup from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." And the scripture tells us that an angel from heaven appears in the garden and strengthens him. Did you ever wonder about that verse? How did the angel strengthen him? Was it just his presence? Just knowing that this angel was there? Is that how he strengthened him? Or did he say to him, "Lord Jesus, you've got to drink this cup. You've got to go through with this. It's the Father's will. It's the only way that lost humanity can be saved. You're the only blood that's pure enough, that's without spot or blemish or any such thing. You've got to do this." Well, I don't know how exactly the angel strengthened him, but he did. What was our conditions being Gentiles at that particular time? Well, we don't have to guess about that. The scripture that's read in your presence this morning explains that to us. At times past, you were without Christ, aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. Now, what does that mean? We were not citizens, you see. Strangers from the covenant of promise. We had no covenant at that particular time. We weren't. The covenant was with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It's made through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and David, the lineage of David. Christ would come into this world. We were not part of the covenant. But notice that verse: "Now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been made near." How? By the blood of Christ. How do we get into Christ Jesus? That's an important question. Galatians 3, verse 27, "As many of you has been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ." Now that's how we get into Christ Jesus. So we're no longer a stranger. We're now part of God's family, you see. Back to Ephesians 2, verse 12. "At that time, you were without Christ, aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenant of promise, without God in the world, having no hope." Now, what does that mean? We were not part of God's family. We were not as a result of not being part of God's family, we were not able to share in the blessings of being part of God's family, you see. The promise was made to the Jews, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. In Genesis 26, verse 4, the Lord speaking to Isaac said, "I will make your descendants multiply as the stars of heaven. I will give to your descendants all these lands, and in your seed all of the nations of the earth shall be blessed." Also, speaking to Abraham earlier in Genesis 12, chapter 1 through 3, Abraham was told by God, "Leave your country, leave your family's house to a land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you." Latter part of that verse 3 says, And you all of the families of the earth shall be blessed. You see what that means? That through their lineage, through the lineage of them, through the lineage of David, the Messiah would come into this world. Gentiles were not part of the promise. They were left out. And as a result of being left out, they had no hope outside the chosen nation, the chosen people of God. But now the Gentiles are included. Gentiles, before, they worshiped pagan gods. They didn't worship the true God. But now they have an opportunity. They are no longer alienated from God. They're no longer without hope. But the biggest if of all is, what would have happened had not Jesus never surrendered to the cross and been raised from the dead? There would be no church, you see. And the Bible teaches that Jesus founded the church on Pentecost Day. There would be no saved added to the church. The saved was added to the church on Pentecost Day, Acts 2 and verse 47. There'd be no salvation, you see, without the shedding of blood. There is no remission. Acts 20 and verse 28, Jesus shed his blood to purchase the church. There'd be no Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God and salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. There would be no Galatians 3:27. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave or free, male or female. We're all one in Christ Jesus. There'd be no Romans 5 verse 8. God demonstrated his own love toward us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. There would be no John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There would be no eternal life. 1 John 5, verse 11. And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and that life is in his Son. There would be no John 11, verse 25. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. There would be no eternal life. There would be no John 14, verse 2. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. There would be no Revelations 21, verse 2 and 3. I, John, saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I hear with a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. God, and there shall be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying, no more pain, for the former things have passed away. There'd be no Galatians 6, verse 14. God forbid that I should glory except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. There'd be no Hebrews 12, verse 10. 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. And for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, all are included, whosoever believeth in me should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus died on the cross for the sins of the human race. It doesn't matter about one's social economic situation, where they're from, what they look like, what language they speak. Acts 10th chapter 34 and 35, Peter opened his mouth and he said, in truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, whoever fears God and works righteousness is accepted by him. All are included. Everyone that will submit to the terms of the gospel of Jesus Christ is included. All in heaven, there's going to be people there from every tribe, tongue, nation, and people will be in heaven. Mark 10, chapter, verse 45. For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. And he gave his life as a ransom for many. 1 Timothy 2, verse 6, who gave himself a ransom for all. Now, sometimes we read in our papers, or we may see on our television set or something about some important diplomat being kidnapped and held for ransom. Of course, sometimes the price of ransom can be pretty costly, depending on the importance of the one that was kidnapped. J.P. Morgan's grandson was kidnapped one time, and the ransom price, I believe, was $3 million. J.P. Morgan was pretty tight and didn't want to pay it. He didn't really like his grandson too much because he showed no initiative. He'd been on drugs and off drugs, and he didn't have a job, so he tried to negotiate it down. He did negotiate it down, but ended up paying around $2 million anyway, but he got his son back. So depending on the importance of the one kidnapped, the ransom price can be extremely high. You could say that the devil in the Garden of Eden kidnapped the human race and held the human race for ransom. But Jesus said, as the scripture I just said, Jesus came into this world and gave his life as a ransom for many. He did not come to be served, but to serve. And he died to redeem mankind from their sins. And the scripture says, now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood. Why would people want to live a life, I've always wondered, as if there was no resurrection? Why would they want to live as if there is no judgment, no eternity, no heaven? The biggest gift of all is why, you see. We're going to extend the invitation in just a second. I want to share a story with you that I just recently read. It's about the fires that took place earlier this year in Santa Ana, California, in that area there. And a brother wrote this, a brother Willis. Yeah, the church is still out in California. But a lot of them are small congregations, but they're still out there. And this brother wrote this article. As the raging fires were moving over the territory, he said they had been told by officials to be ready to leave on just a few moments' notice. His wife, and he had a wife and two children. He said, put your important documents in a bag, your birth certificates, marriage certificates, and your insurance policies. Make sure you put that in there. Your meds, put those in there, and a couple changes of clothes. Because if they're going to a shelter, there's not going to be a lot of room. He said they got the notice very early before dawn to move out and within 15 minutes. And here's what he wrote. He said, as they walked outside that morning, that the smoke and from the wind and the fire, the blanket of smoke surrounding the area, said it looked like they made the sky look like a bruised orange. It looked like a bruised orange, all the smoke and all the fire. And so it reminded me of a verse of scripture taken from Joel 2, 30 and 31. I will display wonders in the sky and on the earth, blood and fire and columns of smoke, and the sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before that great and awesome day of the Lord. Now I know that part of that verse, when Peter spoke on Pentecost Day, he said, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And he began to explain that situation. But some Bible scholars, and I believe Burton Kaufman is one of them, if you want to read it, and I believe he's right, some of that has not yet been fulfilled. So if you're in the audience today and you need to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, there's never a better time, there's never a better opportunity. People on Pentecost obeyed the gospel the same day. Remember Philippian jailer, as soon as he learned the gospel, it was taken the same hour of the night. The Ethiopian eunuch obeyed the gospel the same time as out in the desert. One must believe the gospel, repent from sin, confess the name of Jesus Christ, be immersed in water for the remission of those sins. That's God's plan of redemption right there. And live the Christian life. It's only a start. We need to emphasize this. When one obeys the gospel, that is a start. You start like making the first step. Then you live the Christian life the rest of your life. If you're here today and you need to rededicate your life, come, you will be served, you will be taken care of. Come while we stand and while we sing.